Thought for today. You cannot teach a person anything. You can only help them find it within themselves. You cannot teach a person anything. You can only help them find it within themselves. You cannot teach a person anything. You can only help them find it within themselves. This is a statement from our friend Galileo, the man of the apple. The apple fell on his head and he says, ah, gravity. So you cannot teach a person anything. You can only help them find it within themselves. All of us know everything. Yet we like a leader. All of us are independent beings, but we like a leader. All of us know exactly how to run our own lives and do everything that's important to us, but we like a leader. We like a leader so much that we'll create a leader where there is none. We were attending a birthday party for a 50-year-old character last night. And he is a person who is 100% himself, delighted in himself, enjoying himself, playing the game of being himself, just having a ball. Well, we are six, and we attended the birthday party as six unique individuals. And we ate their wonderful repast, chatted at the tables with them, made ourselves enduringly lovable to each person that we spoke to. And then the music started. Of course, it had been going on anyhow, but the music started in our ears. So one by one, our members got up to participate in the music. John and Anita got up. John, I think, probably did it first, but got up and started dancing and giving themselves over to it 100%. They didn't need a teacher. They didn't need a leader. They just got up and did their thing beautifully, wonderfully, wonderfully. And then Ellen got up and she did a little two-step and she got me up to do a two-step with her. We danced and had a nice time. And then the wife of the birthday boy got up, and she started doing her little creative dance, which is already a preformed sidestep, two-step, lined type dance. Organized, patterned, feet this way, feet that way, feet this way, feet that way, legs this way, legs that way, as though you're having a Foley's brassiere, and a dance. And so soon, several people followed her. Her daughter was first, and then a few others. But they followed her in this step that she was making, which was rather complex. And pretty soon, Ellen goes over and follows her. And Sylvia, who had been sitting on the sidelines, she decided, well, okay, maybe I'll try this since I've got a teacher out there. And so she raised her foot this way and raised her foot that way and sort of played the game a little bit. And I tried to follow along with her footsteps, but I didn't find it fun playing someone else's game, so I went back to doing what I enjoyed doing. John and Anita were not intimidated at the least to following what the lady was teaching in dancing. And she is a teacher. She does teach music and dancing and everything else she can teach. And she has fun at it. And Ingeborg, she came out to join us to tell us that there's a nice fire going over there and we'd sit around the fire and be warm. But she had no intention of dancing. She was purely doing her own thing and having fun, and well, that's just fine. The majority of the crowd were doing their own thing. The little children got up and they wanted to dance, and they just had rhythm in their bottoms. They were just shaking them back and forth and jumping up and down, just having such a good time. And the birthday boy's grandson was perhaps the cutest of them all. he got out there and he wanted to take the microphone. He wanted to sing. He wanted to do everything. And Grandma came out and took the microphone away from him and put it up on the stand. But nobody cared. Nobody cared. Maybe the musicians cared. I don't know. But nobody else cared. We all thought that was charming. Just a charming little character. And I finally said to his uncle, I said, "Hey, that's quite a charming little fellow. He's got a lot of class, a lot of movement." He sure does. He says, "He is a special one in the family, very special." I said, "Yeah, he's a great little guy." But you cannot teach a person anything. You can only help them find it themselves. Let's use that little boy as an example. He sat on his bottom in the middle of the orchestra, and the orchestra was playing back and forth, and he was going back and forth, and he was moving this way and moving that way and being just so harmonic while he was sitting, you know. He probably doesn't sit still very often, but he was just sitting there moving at the music. And then when his mom came out and he was dancing with his mom, he was just, you know, doing it just like John does, you know, just with a lot of imagination, a lot of pizzazz. But you can't teach that child anything. You can draw out of him the magic that's in him. He's already got the magic going within him. It just now needs to be balanced into something that he can, you know, apply it in a wonderful way. And perhaps, just perhaps, this child is not going to be susceptible to teaching by anybody else. And he will end up teaching the world to sing. He will end up doing his own thing and teaching others how to do it and be quite good at it because he's totally uninhibited. You see, we can help him find within himself that genius that he is and encourage him to do it. And you don't encourage him by taking the microphone away. I can understand why Grandma did that. But that's a grandma for you. That's a teacher for you. That's a person who does things in an orderly way. And these children are not supposed to do these things. They're supposed to be cooperative and what have you. And she didn't realize that this was perhaps this kid's debut, the coming out party, where he was really sparkling out before an audience. And then one little guy, he was maybe 8 years old, something like that. Well, now, there's another little fellow that John had a big fight with. John got down on his haunches, and he just wrestled around, and the kids just walked around him, and they were just having a ball. But he got tired of doing that. So he goes up on a little ramp leading up into perhaps the tractor shed, and he stands up there, and he holds his hand as though he's holding a microphone, and he's singing away there on this ersatz microphone and just having such a ball. And when he finished, he just put it down, continued whatever he's doing. But that is the genius that lay within. You can't help, you can only help them find it within themselves. You cannot teach them. You can only help them find it. We help them find it within themselves. We help ourselves find it within ourselves. Now, we've been watching the Pirelli tape. It's a lot of nonsense, a big joke, showing a horse how to do what you want him to do and loving a horse and giving him all these their various attentions. It's a big joke. That horse already knows how to do all that stuff. The only thing is, you want to learn how to do that stuff. So you want to learn what a horse knows. And so the best way to learn what a horse knows is to give him the friendly game, give him the nudging or porcupine game, and then give him the control game, where you're the boss. And he comes to you or backs up from you, where you put all these things together. You know his zones. You know how to get him to do it. And if I say, "You're terrible!" Your adrenaline grows up, you know, your anxiety grows. You say, "My gosh, what's wrong with him?" And if I say to you, "You know, all of you remind me of a perfect sunset, each with your unique colors blending quietly into the universe. You're beautiful. There's a calmness that comes over you. There's a joy that comes over you, a oneness, a universal oneness that comes over you. And if I say, John, 2 times 2 is 4, and 4 times 4 is 16, and 16 times 16 is, and I go on and on and on. And John says, just a minute, I didn't get that last one. And I go on and I go on and I go on, but I didn't get that last one. And so John is standing there with his confusion hanging out. And he does not find it harmonious. He does not find the teaching harmonious. He does not find anything harmonious, because we lost him back there in step two. So this is important for us to know. When we are dealing with a horse, we go step by step by step, so the horse knows who we are. He knows who he is already, but he wants to know who we are and whether he should believe in us, whether he should follow us. At the dance, Lynn was up there dancing away, having a great old time, doing her little 2D2 steps. Reminds me of the Russian ballet dancers, you know, as they do their little tiny steps this way and tiny steps this way, and sort of move along without even rippling their dresses. Very lovely. Well, Lynn was doing that sort of thing. And as she did it, as in the Russian ballet, all of the other ballerinas came out and joined the prima ballerina and danced, just floating around the stage. So these people came out and joined Lynn as she did this. But if you would look at each one, you would say, you can only help them find it within themselves, because each one of the ladies, including her daughter, were very independent. Her daughter could shake her hip much better than Mama. Mama could do it too, but Mama had a little more reserve. And then one lady who was dark and I don't know what nationality she might be, Mediterranean or something, but she's so self-possessed. She's so self-confident. She's so self-assured. And she got out there and she was dancing with Lynn. And then 2 seconds later, she was out there doing her own thing. She was doing a John. She was getting her arms up there and she was getting her legs swinging around. And whatever Lynn was doing didn't make any difference. The teacher was forgotten, because the teacher merely brought out of her, let's get going. Let's do that beautiful thing that's within you. All of us do this constantly in our lifetime. We think that we're teaching ourselves, or we're teaching another person. But all we're doing is greasing the slide for the person, helping them to get started, releasing, if you will, and even that not, releasing their inhibitions, helping them to release their inhibitions so they can get out and be themselves. All of us have so many inhibitions that keep us from being ourselves. It's amazing. If we would just do what our inner self tells us to do, we'd be great. Oh, you can't do that. Oh my goodness, you can't do that. Oh yes, you can. Oh yes, you can. That's what's called a genius. The genius is not inhibited by what other people. He doesn't care. Now, for years, I always felt sensitive about wearing a hat because I never wore a hat. But recently, I wear a hat because the sun is quite warm, and it's a nice shade, and so forth, and so I wear a hat. And then people come up and they say, oh, you look so funny in a hat. You look so different in a hat, because it wasn't what they're accustomed to seeing me. And I have to get accustomed to seeing me different too. I have to get accustomed to seeing me wearing a hat. And when I see me wearing a hat, I don't care what anybody says or thinks or feels about my hat. They can laugh at it, they can wear it, they can do funny things with it and give it back to me and what have you. But I don't think a thing about it, and so they don't think a thing about it. When we went to that party yesterday, there were at least 100 people there, and some wore hats, usually a baseball cap. And all of them were mature, and they had the baseball cap with the point toward the front. And our internet man was there with his wife, and he wore a normal hat, but he had Kiwanis across the front of it. Because when he traveled around the world, he liked everyone to know that he was a Kiwanis person. He just came back from China, and he wore that hat there, I'm sure. And all the Chinese said, Kiwanwa? What does that mean? You know, it doesn't mean a thing to most of them. They have to spell it in Chinese, not wear an English-speaking hat. You know, you got to wear a Chinese-speaking hat. But then again, maybe they don't know how to spell Kiwanis in Chinese. Maybe there's no comparison to that. But in any event, the French also have that problem, as you well know. They try to make every single word they use French. And they're having a little difficult with computer. And with, a plus and a minus, or, bytes and bits and so forth. And you can't change everything into French. Sometimes you just have to use it the way it comes out of the box. But it's right out of the box. It's right in there. Everything is there. Everything is clear. Everything is wonderfully understandable. You know, Ellen was so proud telling us all how she flies an airplane. And, well, she should be. I mean, we should all be proud to be able to fly an airplane or drive a car or drive a tractor or do anything. And Ellen said something quite charming, many things, but she said something quite charming, which I think flight instructors should say to their people. Flight instructors might well say to their people, okay, you cannot teach a person anything. You can only help them find it within themselves. So now, you're going to ride a horse. So become friends with the horse so that you can ride him and the two of you can have a good time together. You're going to fly an airplane. Become friends with your airplane. Friends with a mechanical gadget? That's right. Friends with your airplane. Know how it works. Know how it functions. Know the aerodynamics of it. Know meteorology. Meteorology, weather, my goodness sakes. That's right. If you're flying along and a storm comes up and you don't know what to do, you can scare the liver out of you. Because the wind can blow and can move you around and so forth, and you have to know what to do. You just stay right on course. And if the wind moves you this way, you move back. If you're twisted or turned, you set yourself on course. If the wind's blowing you this way, you head this way, even though you're going that way, because you'll go that way if you head this way, not if you head that way. And that's the game that the airplane plays in the sky. It cooperates with the wind and the weather. And when you have an airplane, you walk around that airplane first, and you pat it on its legs, and you pat it on, you play the friendly game with the airplane. You get to know the airplane. You get to like, you should know it before you fly, of course. But so each time, the airplane is different. Each time, the horse is different. The horse may have had some beans and is farting all over the place, and so you want to be careful. And the airplane, it may have had a wire come loose, and you didn't know that. And you don't know that wire is supposed to be there in the first place. And so as you do your walk around, your love around, you don't notice that wire is missing. But if you know your airplane, you see, you can only help them find it within themselves. If you know your airplane, you will know that wire is missing. Whoops, I won't go up in that plane with that wire missing. That's part of its strength, part of its control. I told you the story about my son and I. We went out to the airport, big old country airport, had been a military airport one time, and we were parked on the outskirts. And we went out to get in our plane. We walked around our plane most properly, and Mark is a perfectionist. And so I got in the plane, ready to turn on the switch and have him crank it over. And he gets out in the front of the plane after having walked around the plane. And he says, Dad, somebody stole our prop. And the propeller. We walked around that plane and did not see the propeller missing because it was so much in our consciousness that it should be there. We put it there even when it wasn't there. Now, we should have been able to fly that way too, but we didn't try it. You see, even a thing as bold and dominant as the prop being missing, we didn't notice that. So our walk around, which we both did, with love and joy, was a wasted thing. Until we tried to start it without a prop, we found we had a little difficulty. You see, everything you know within yourself. Teach yourself to love yourself. So many people get in their car, and they start driving, they say, whoops, I must have a flat tire. They go out there, sure enough, they got a flat tire. Why didn't you do a walk around? You're supposed to. Tire manufacturers say the major reason or cause of tire failure is that people do not maintain the tire pressure. They do not take the time once a week or once a month or once a year to check their tire pressure. But tires are built so well these days, they keep their tire pressure quite well. But it's off a few pounds, and when it's off a few pounds, then you're using a part of the tread that's not beneficial. And the tire wears out sooner. If it's too hard, if it's too much pressure, then you're riding on just the tip of the tire, and you don't have any grip on the road. You want to have the tire pressure that they have in the book or on the tire itself. And you must remember whether that's tire pressure hot or cold. Because if you don't do that, then your tire is not going to wear right, and pretty soon you're going to have to buy new tires. Or you have a flat, or you have a blowout when you don't expect it. We have a motorhome, and the motorhome has 3, 6, 7, 8 tires on it. 2 up front and 3 on each side and back. Well, it has an inside tire that you don't get to see. And so, we don't check the air on those tires. We should. But recently, the motorhome was used for a trip, and the inside tire blew out. Blew out with, wow, did it blow out. You know, really messed up the underside of the motorhome and everything. It did nothing deadly serious, but it was just a good blow up. Well, now, why did it blow out? You would say, well, it blew out because it had too much air. That's what you would say. That would be a logical conclusion. But you know why it blew out? It blew out because it did not have enough air. And it was riding on an area of the tire that was not designed to be on the ground. There was a side of the tire. And so as it was riding there, it still had a lot of air in it. It got hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter, and pa-ka-plowy, it blew up. Now you'd say, well, it had too much air. That's why it blew. No, it had too little air. So it was riding on an area of the tire that it was not designed to ride on. You see, we are so careless. Here we have beautiful instruments that we pay a great deal of money for. The motorhome was $65,000. We got it used, 2 years old, and it was new, almost $165,000, $185,000. That's a lot of machine. And yet, while it rolls on the road on tires, we don't even check it. We don't do a walk around. We don't take our tire gauge and go and check it. We know to do this. You cannot teach a person anything. He can only help them find it within themselves. We know we should check our tires. We know we should check the air. Now, the person driving the motorhome, they should have checked the air because that should have been a habit for them. But they didn't check the air on their own tires at home. They had no idea. They can run computers. They can run a household. They can run a family. They can do a lot of things. They don't think of checking the air. How many of you think of checking the air in your tires? You see, It's these little things that you know you should do. What's one of the most important things you do when you start out on a trip? Aside from many, many other things, you look at the gas gauge. You don't start out on a long trip on an empty tank. When you're ready to go on a trip, you say, well, I got enough gas to get me to the gas station and fill her up. So you go to it. You don't forget and drive by the gas station with your mind on something else and then get in the middle of the desert and be out of gas. True, AAA will come and bring gas to you, but not that much. Perhaps not that enough to get your big motorhome out of the middle of the desert to a gas station, because it takes a few gallons. When you get 8 or 10 miles to a gallon, and you're 50 miles from nowhere, you have to have 5 gallons or better. You see, you have to think of all these things. When you are raising children, your responsibility is not to teach them anything, but to help them find within themselves their genius. When a mother loves her children as she is preparing the dinner and says, come and help me, and the kids are making a mess and they're doing everything wrong, she doesn't say, God, I could do this better by myself. She says, I am a mother, and part of my mother responsibility is to make sure that my children have an opportunity to know how to cook their meals, how to wash the dishes. But starting out at 3 years of age, that's right, starting out at 3 years of age, there's never a time that's too young. You start out when the child is ready. Mommy, can I help? Mommy, can I lick the pan? Mommy, can I wash the dishes? Mommy, can I put it in the oven? Mommy, can I do these things? And then mommy says, sure. Now, before you put it in the oven, you turn the oven on and you let it burn for about 5 minutes while it preheats the oven. Then you open the door and you slide it in quickly and close the door so the oven will stay warm. Then you set your timer so that you will have a time that you really was cooking, not just a time while the oven was warming up. You say that once, twice, three times, a dozen times, and pretty soon you don't say, don't you know, kid, I told you three times that, I told you four times. You know, a mother is a lovely sharer. She draws out from within them what they know, and she will ask them questions. Now, why do we light the oven and just let it sit there without doing anything? They say, Mommy, we preheat the oven. Now, why do we wait 5 minutes? Because we want the oven to be warm when we put the cake in there so the cake will cook for the right amount of time. Well, why do we do these things? In love, not like, you stupid kid, you should know all this, you know. But just love. And if the kid doesn't get it right, then she repeats the little lesson. Now, she doesn't really want the kid playing with the oven by himself, so perhaps he might be a little older. But she has to teach them about knives and forks and washing them and doing all these things. You can teach a person, you cannot teach a person anything. You can only help them find it within themselves. My loves, I cannot teach you anything. I can only help you find it within yourself. And so that's why I encourage you to learn self-discipline, self-diligence, self-dedication, self-determination. That's why I want you to learn for yourself to be untouched, to not judge, to not possess. That you have to do for yourself. I can show you the way on these things, and I can give you illustrations why it's a wise thing to do. But you can only help them, I can only help you, to find it within yourself. Are you ready for that game, to find it within yourself? That's why you're here. Are you going to be here and learn, or are you going to be here and be upset because your buttons are being pushed? Well, you're here to have your buttons pushed. You're not here to have me stroke you and play the friendly game with you all the time. I play the friendly game with you a lot, but you cannot teach a person anything. You can only help them find it within themselves. You cannot teach a person anything. You can only help them find it within themselves. I cannot teach you anything. You can only learn to find it within yourself, and that's what I'm here to help you do. I love you. So now, stop these things.